world. So let's start with the first problem. I'll keep writing them here, left to right on the board, and we'll discuss as we go. So I'll draw things as we go on this, because it's going to be helpful for you to picture things. I think most of the mistakes came because you had the wrong picture in your mind, or perhaps because you were rushing and you tried to guess what the problem was, but it was more subtle than you imagined. So let's first of all deal with the syntax to the point where that is no longer a concern for you. And then let's figure out what it actually means and why that meaning may or may not be what's needed and what's represented. So the first line here, I think, presents no problem to anybody. An integer is being declared and initialized at the same time. Okay, int and int equals 5. The second line presented a problem to about 50% of you. This thing, this ampersand here, is not an address. This ampersand is a reference. When you have an ampersand in the definition of something, that signifies the use of a reference, not the use of a pointer. In contrast, when you have an ampersand in the code of something, that represents a pointer, not a reference. So talk about confusing languages. But that's what it is. And so we got to learn it the way it is. So because this is part of the definition, this really means R and int. And of course, I was helping you here with the Hungarian notation. In not one place did I choose the wrong notation, Hungarian. So this is a reference to an integer int. So the reference I am trying to assign to n int plus 5. Okay, a couple of you got the problem with this thing. And the problem is, whenever you have a reference, you have to tell it what to reference. Like the same thing when you have a pointer, you have to tell it what to point to, because otherwise you know that bad things happen if you don't initialize it. Likewise here, a reference is like a constant pointer. It requires that you assign it to a given variable, in other words, something that it would reference, and then from then on you can't reassign. So for all time, for all the execution of the program, rn int is going to point to whatever you initialize it to, but you have to initialize it to something. And now the question is, are we initializing it to anything meaningful? And the answer is no, because if it were only n int, it'd be fine. That would mean rn int is a reference, and it will be essentially a synonym for n int. Whenever you use one, yes, it's like the same as you use the other. Problem is with this plus 5 thing. Why? Because in order to be a reference, it must be a place in memory that you can address, a place in memory that holds an address. Variables have an address because they occupy a certain cell in the memory. Functions have an address because they occupy a certain cell in the memory. Many things, arrays have an address. But plus 5 does not have an address. It's just a computation. Even if you compute it and you say n int is 5, 5 plus 5, 10, where does 10 sit? There's no such thing. There is no cell in the memory. Of course, there is a cell in the memory that holds the value of 10. But the problem is there is no name to that cell. And references need to be initialized with the name of a cell that exists. There is a different term that you might encounter if you read about these things, let's say online, or if you listen to them, and the term is called L-value. L-value and R-value. L-value means something that can stand on the left-hand side of an equation. Some of the compilers that I've used years ago, they would immediately flag this one and says the right-hand side is not, no, n int plus 5 is not an L value. In other words, translated in English, this would mean the right-hand side cannot be addressed. Therefore, how do I initialize this thing with something that it cannot be addressed? And that's the problem with this one. If it weren't for the plus 5, it'd be fine. But with the plus 5, it becomes unaddressable. So that will be a compile time error. So any questions on this one? Please.
What sort of leniency, either for full credit or
I was being very generous in terms of partial credit. Whenever I saw something that is along the lines of the correct, then I would give credit. That's why I was planning on 2 points per problem, two meaning completely solved, one meaning partly solved, and sometimes I even gave half, which means, you know, you kind of have an idea, but it was not really going very far. In any case, pointers are so basic, like the brake pedal of a car, that, you know, you don't want to rely on the spare brake in order to stop the car when you're at high speed. So assume, for all practical purposes, that you have to be complete and you have to be perfect on these things, because otherwise there's a time sink for your project. Any other questions on the problem itself? Shall I assume that next week when we have a quiz here in class, if I give a problem like this, then everybody's going to get 2 out of 2? I must.
How would you phrase the answer? Like, you cannot design.
The right-hand side is non-addressable. There is no memory cell that it can address, and a reference requires that.
There's no memory cell
that's what I would say.
Okay.
And for people who are more advanced, then I would say the right-hand side is not an L value.
Okay.
Left, L stands for left, L value. Yes, Andre.
So when would you ever use something like that? Just have the driver pointer?
Do you mean the reference in general? Well, I mean, references we talked about. There is some interchanging uses between references and pointers, and in those cases, I do recommend that you use pointers because they are the natural thing in C++. But references are required when you do copy constructors and when you do operator redefinition and such things. So some part of the language actually require that you use a reference, in which case you have to. Also, sometimes you use code that other people have written and it has references and you have no control over it, so that's when you have to use references because they did.
How would you use a family break?
Sometimes, yeah.
Why would you ever not put in the
parameters? I'm not sure what you're asking. What do you mean, why would I not put a reference on the parameters? Okay, this may be going into one of the subsequent problems that we're going to be addressing here, but a reference makes you touch the original as opposed to a copy. If it weren't a reference, it would be passed by value, in which case you'd be making a copy and any changes to this will not stick after the function ends. A reference, like a pointer, would allow you to touch the original, except you're not writing the star. So that's the value of it. In other words, they are valuable when you want to have an output parameter, something that returns from your function. It also means that functions can have a reference return value and can have a pointer return value. By the way, several of you somehow didn't believe this. So one of the subsequent problems was an int star some function, and you told me the function couldn't return a pointer. Why not? It can return anything. Yes, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Can you phrase your question in a way that I can answer?
Well, if you had wrote this like as a parameter, it would have been easy to understand, but I had no idea what I was talking about because it wasn't a parameter.
Yeah.
I've seen it before.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a code snippet, and I mean sometimes you would use these things. Even without, it doesn't mean that references you only use when you have parameters. You can have references for other reasons, such as pointers. Sometimes you use as parameters, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes they use them in association with arrays, and sometimes you do want to have a second copy and then pass one of them to a function, but keep the second one as a, not a copy, but a second pointer to the original. And that's what a reference would be. In this case, if it were written successfully, then it would be that. Okay, let's proceed to the next problem. This one increased in the amount of trickiness. Some of the problems had multiple problems in them, This one is one of the first ones that had multiple issues with it. And for full credit, I expect you to find out all of the problems, not just one of them. Because when it is your code, maybe it's the one that you see that caused the whatever problem you're experiencing, or maybe it's the one that you don't see. So you need to see all of them. For this one in particular, it will be helpful, as with everything really, but for this one in particular, more than the previous one, it will be helpful if you actually draw a little bit of a diagram of what's going on. So let's decode this thing. First of all, there were syntactic misconceptions and confusions, and then there were some semantic misconceptions and confusions. What this says is pnint1 is a pointer to an integer. A pointer, same thing as an address. Okay, it's a cell in the memory that holds the address of another cell in the memory. That's really what it is. Pnint2 is a pointer to an integer. Yeah, which I am initializing to be the same as pnint1. Note, this does not mean I am doing star pnint2 equals pnint1. This is not a dereference. If it were on a separate line, I would be doing a dereference here. In other words, trying to access what pnint2 points to. This is on the declaration line. Okay, another confusion in the language, but we got to understand it. So this one essentially says int star pnint1 semicolon, another line, int star pnint2 equals pnint1. So the diagram really looks like this. So pnint1, pnint2 are both cells someplace in memory that hold an address to someplace in memory. We don't know what that someplace is because it hasn't been initialized. So I'll just draw it with this curvy arrow to mean that they do hold a value. Several of you said in your answers they don't have a value. What do you mean they don't have a value? The computer is all about zeros and ones. There's no cell in it that doesn't have zeros and ones, even if it's random zeros and ones. In other words, the correct thing is that they do point to some place, you just don't know where that is. And so you would have to assume conservatively that it's the wrong place to point to. But it's not that they don't point to anywhere. They do point to some place. That's why we have sec faults, segmentation faults, because when they point to the wrong place, then okay. So that's the wrong place. We don't know where that is, but this thing has an address that says over there. The second statement, pnint2 equals pnint1, basically says make whatever this one has point to the same random cell in memory. So far so good. I mean, this looks kind of okay, but not quite so okay, because you're trying to initialize a pointer with an uninitialized other thing. And while this initialization by itself is true, you don't know where what you're initializing to, so it's essentially you're doing a random thing there. So that by itself is one of the problems. You need to know what you're initializing with, and in this case you don't, because the thing that you're initializing with isn't initialized itself. Same thing as if I wrote int n and then int m equals n, but I haven't told you what n is. So even though m is now initialized, well, how useful is that? All right, next line, what it's doing is it's saying, I should have a one or two. It's one. So it's pnint one, I missed the one here, equals new int. And that int, of course, ought to be a small one. So what this says is, please give me some memory that I plan to hold an integer in and make pn int 1 point to that memory. Yeah, okay, syntactically we're good. Okay, so here's your memory. This is in a different place. This is in the heap. We talked about this thing. This thing first, not on the heap. Actually, we don't know, because it's a, you know, some random place, but quite possibly not on the heap. This one is on this different piece of memory. And this second line says, give me a bit of that and make sure my name is on the title for it. I'm buying it. All right? There you go. You bought it. By buying this, you can't point to two things at the same time, because you only can hold one address, so you no longer hold the fake address to the random memory cell. Okay, line 3 says, please dereference pn int 2 and write 0 where it points to. Where does it point to? Someplace, somewhere out there, as the song would say. Yeah, you can write 0, and that will most likely cause your segmentation fault, because who knows? Most likely it's not your memory anyway. So this is the diagram. Questions on that problem?
Prior to line 2, could the computer, since we're pointing somewhere, but we haven't told the computer that we're reserving that first box for an integer value, could it accidentally store something else in there, like a character value, because we haven't really reserved it?
Do you mean here?
Yeah.
Something is already stored. As I said, in every cell in memory there's zeros and ones. Whether it's a character or an integer or a pointer is only a matter of your interpretation. They all are combinations of zeros and ones. It just happens that the compiler knows that when you say character, it should interpret 8 bits as a sequence of that should represent a character. And when you say, I need an integer, then you would still take those same 8 bits with the same zeros and ones, add a few more because an integer requires more than a byte, and interpret that as an integer. In other words, there's a random thing in there. It's just the way that you read it is how you tell the compiler to interpret it. You tell it, whatever is in there, please think of this as an integer and tell me what it is. Please think of this as a character and tell me what it is. That's the nature of actually typecasting. When you change from one type to another, we haven't talked about typecasting very much, but it occasionally happens and is useful, and that's what it happens with typecasting. Something is of a different type, but you're telling the compiler, for a little while, please forget what you knew and try to look at this from a different angle. Try to see this as a different type and tell me what it would be. So yeah, you will hold some sequence of zeros and ones. It could be all zeros, in which case it is initialized to that, but there's nothing you can rely on for it. And the most egregious part of the mistake is that this cell may be someplace that you don't own. Very likely isn't someplace that you don't own. And when you try to access it, it will do the segmentation fault and crash your program. More questions on number 2? Yes, Mariana.
The third line, I don't know if you said it already, but so you said it's incorrect, right? And how can you make a pointer to point to the value of 0?
No, that's not pointing to the value 0. I'm just saying, you know, star pn int 2 syntactically means take whatever pn int 2 points to and in that place store the value 0.
So the line is correct?
The line would be correct if only pn int 2 were pointing to some place that you owned. But because you never initialized pn int 2, then it is storing 0 in this random cell, which will cause your program to crash.
So would all of this have been fixed if you just did a first line starting?
Yes. Yes, several of you pointed this out in your answers, that if we had only flipped a few things here, it would all have been fine. If it were only int star pn int 1, stop here, now initialize with the new int, and then do the pn int 2 that would all be fine. Why? Because then you would initialize pnint2 to pnint1, but pnint1 would already be pointing to something that actually is yours. In which case, both would point to the same place, and when you do the third line, it will basically say, okay, in that place that I'm pointing to, which pnint1 also happens to be pointing to, I'm going to store 0, and that's fine. So that switch of lines would make all the difference in this case. Maybe that's what's intended, maybe that's not what's intended. But yes, that would certainly compile and run correctly if you did it. Okay, let's proceed to C. The two problems with B are the incorrect initialization with something that you hasn't been initialized, this line, and then the other one is the referencing of some place that you don't own. It is a problem. Sure, but it is a problem. It's a semantic problem. It's not a problem that the compiler will complain, but it's a semantic problem. It shows that there's something wrong with your thinking. Some of the future things will also evidence problems that the compiler won't even catch, but there are problems that evidence problems with the thinking, which means that there's bound to be a problem down the road.
When you said problems in here, I thought you meant something that was going to be wrong.
Coding errors are anything that will cause a problem here or down the line.
That first thing won't cause a problem down the line unless you do something else stupid.
Sure. Or anything, really. Because you can't even touch pnint2. So are you saying that touching pnint2 will become a stupid thing?
No, you can say pnint2 equals something else. You win.
Oh, okay. But then you will be a redefinition of pnint2, reinitialization.
Anyway, I didn't see anything wrong with that first line because it didn't do anything wrong.
It is less wrong. It is an implication of a problem down the road to come. And sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. Visual Studio was what?
I don't think that happened to the problem.
The first one?
Using
I'm sure you will flag it as a warning. It won't be an error. You will flag it as a warning, and so if you heed the warning, and if you can understand the message, because sometimes the compiler makes messages that we can't quite understand, yeah, it should. All right, let's proceed to some of the others. How are we doing here? 22 minutes. Good. So Michael, to further expand on my answer to your question, it is a problem in the sense that this does not conform to the idea of defensive coding. It starts using things that are really dangerous, even though they may not crash or they may not cause a compilation issue. It starts showing that something might be hairy, and so you might want to pay attention to it. Alright, the third one. What is that one doing? Let's draw diagrams here too. First line. Let's decipher what the first line says. Once again, pnint is a pointer to an integer. So far, so good. This time I'm being careful and I'm actually immediately grabbing some memory and pointing it to that. Alright, so there's your pnint. There's your memory over in the heap, and that one points to there. You do own that memory. So far, so good. The next one says, if what is stored in that cell is not zero, then do something. So what is stored in that cell? Something or other? Is that an error? Not really, in the same sense that Michael pointed out to the previous one, but yes, it is. because you are testing something that you haven't initialized. In other words, this is as unpredictable as can possibly get. You're testing for a value. Maybe it's zero, in which case something will happen in your program. Maybe it's not zero, in which case something else will happen in your program. Is it zero or is it not zero? Depends on who knows. How would you like to write programs that depend on who knows? So that's an error. Once again, it will probably be flagged as a warning, not a compilation error or anything like that. But yeah, you better fix it. Okay, so this is one problem. This issue here has three. So find me the other two problems in the remaining statement. Okay, this is one of them. I was really meaning to be tricky. The arrows should be pointing the other way because see out is like the not. Yes, this is what would be for the input, and for an output you would do the other thing. This is about as tricky as I was willing to get. You didn't lose too many points if you only missed that one. But what's the other error? Yeah, I normally would want to print the contents. Would you ever want to print out the address?
Maybe.
I mean, there's chances that might be the case. But just by looking at this, chances are you don't want to do that. So flag this as a potential problem. Re-examine it. And if you really believe that you want to print the address as opposed to what's in there, go right ahead. So technically, there's one compilation error, and there's a couple of warnings here. But I'd say there's three errors for you to pay attention to.
Really know if an error is not bad, so wouldn't we need more coders to know what's going on?
Yes, yes. With context, you would be able to tell better. And most programs aren't three lines long, so you would have that context and make a decision appropriately. Yeah. More questions on this one? Yes, Drew.
What does int do? Int actually is there a default value for int?
No, there is no default value. Some compilers would try to stick a default value for you. Some compilers in certain modes would try to stick a value there for you. If you program with Visual Studio, you may be used to its trying to be helpful but not really being helpful in initializing things to zero, just to initialize them to something. But then that would mean that if you test for an uninitialized value, then it would have initialized it for you, but any other compiler will complain about this, and so your program may run on one and completely not run on the other. And the problem is really with the debug mode in Visual Studio. It's not being helpful. So be aware of this. It tries to initialize things for you, whereas it shouldn't. It tries to save you from telling you that you've made an error. How would you like to have a friend who knowingly lies to you? That's basically what the compiler is doing. It's supposed to be a friend that helps you write your program, and it knows that this is wrong, and it still lies to you that it is initialized. All right. Example D. Two lines. How many errors can there possibly be? Two. Many of you got one. All right. How many of these would be flagged? One. Let's think about it. What does the first line do?
It's an array.
Declares an array of five characters. Yeah. So far, so good. And tries to initialize it with, well, the following string of 5 characters. What could possibly be wrong with that one? There's ways to declare, to initialize in multiple ways. This is one valid way to declare, specifically for strings, C strings. So that by itself is not the problem. Can you say it?
It doesn't include the KGB term in the case. It's supposed to ABCDE and include the KGB term, something like that.
There's something after the ABCDE.
So
you're on the right path. Oh, did I write 0?
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I stole the problem. Anyway, we're talking about first line here. Let's focus on the first line again.
Yeah, the string is,
you need
a 6.
I need a 6.
Why?
Because C strings always end on the 0 thing. Otherwise, they're not C strings. Just because you haven't written the backslash 0 doesn't mean that it's not there. That's the terminating character. Otherwise, these strings don't know where to end. They just keep going on and on and on and on in memory. That's why you always need to terminate these strings with this backslash 0. And because you want to store 5 characters and backslash 0, that's 6. But you've allocated only 5. There goes the problem. That's not really a problem, however. And it won't be even flagged. Probably as a warning, but not anything else. Because, helpful as it is, the C++ compiler doesn't require you to tell how many. This is valid C++ code. So, without the 5 at all. Why? Because, well, you're initializing it on the other side. Only in the case when you're initializing are you not required to specify how many. You're initializing it on the other side, so it knows how to count. And it says A, B, C, D, E, and 0, 6. Therefore, I must allocate 6 for you. It's trying to be helpful there. However, if you didn't know that, and you wrote 5 here, is that really an error? No. But is that showing that you don't understand something about the coding? Yes. Should you fix it? Well, it implies that when you want to try to process this string, you'll forget about that 0, because you're not thinking about it. Okay? So I'm guessing this won't even flag you as a warning. But I'm not a compiler. Okay. That's the problem with the first line. The second line, I was helpfully fixing it for you. It basically said, take the first character, not the first, but the character with an index 1, and assign this to a variable called C first character. Is that a problem with this? Well, the left-hand side is a character, the right-hand side is a character. In this case, it's B. I'm just assigning B. So technically, that's not a problem. But because my variable is called first character, it's highly likely that I actually intend to take the first character of the string. Maybe it's my first character of some loop, and that's not the intent. Okay, context will tell you this. But without further context, it's fair to assume that the assumption here is that I'm getting really the very first character of the string, which ought to be with the index 0 and not 1. So the error, again, is a semantic one, not a syntactic one. Any further questions on this one?
So the primary error is that second one. Is that correct?
The second one is a semantic one. The first one shows misunderstanding of syntax and the underlying things in the language. None of the two would break your program. The second one will probably cause a problem with your logic, because you intended to pick A and you picked B, and who knows what the inputs, the outputs will be of your program. The first one shows that you may actually have a logical problem with the code, because when you start processing these things, you'll forget about the 0, and then possibly crashes are coming down the line. It's automatically put in.
So
automatically, in the sense that when you declare the, when you initialize with the string, it's automatically. But if you compose the string as if here's your first character, here's your second character, here's your third character, then it's not automatically put in.
So if I had like initialized 6, 7, 5 to have first that character, I would have to still put it in manually.
No, it's okay to initialize to 6 and only give the 5 here, because the sixth one will take up the space.
Okay, so that's what it will do.
Yes. That's the only time when you will do it automatically. If you do, you can initialize in different ways. For example, you can say PC password 0 equals A as a character, not as a string. PC password 1 equals B. PC password 2 equals C. PC password 3 equals D. PC password 4 equals E. And to end the string, you have to say PC password 5 equals / 0. Because otherwise you haven't ended the string. And so it will be all kinds of garbage until it eventually encounters a random //0 in memory, which may be soon or way down the line.